And now, the romance of Helen Trent. The Romance of Helen Trent. The real-life drama of Helen Trent, who, when life mocks her, breaks her hopes, dashes her against the rocks of despair, fights back bravely, successfully, to prove what so many women long to prove in their own lives, that because a woman is 35 or more, romance in life need not be over. That romance can begin at 35.
Seeking to reestablish herself in the confidence of the Hollywood Motion Picture Studios, Helen is designing the costumes for a forthcoming Broadway show, and she is sharing her penthouse with Julie Downing, who is to play the Angelou lead in the show. Recently, Michael Fallon, the eminent portrait painter with whom Julie is in love, returned from Ireland. But Michael has brought about a dangerous situation now, for from the first moment he met Helen, he has been secretly more interested in her than in Julie, although Julie, blissfully unaware of this as yet, is happy in what she believes to be the security of Michael's affection. It is mid-afternoon today, as we look in on Helen's living room, where we find her talking with songwriter Ken McKenzie. Listen.
You know, Ken, today I almost called for a celebration.
How's that, Helen?
This morning I finished my very last costume design. No more drawing. No more long hours of being buried in my den in there. From now on, all I have to do is work down to the theater with the costumes themselves.
Yeah, good for you, neighbor. I know that's a load off your mind.
It is. I feel like heaving one enormous sigh of relief.
I bet. Hey, you know, Steve took it to death with the costumes, Helen. Yesterday, down at his office, he launched into a long epic of praise about you. Used all the adjectives. He heard it.
I'm glad he's pleased. I feel like I've done a good job, Ken. I can only hope I have.
So we're going over to Philadelphia for the opening of the show?
Oh, you bet I am. I'll be right there. And then on opening night here in New York, I'll entertain some people at the theater. Meg and David Willoughby and Alice Carroll and Dr. North. Has to do with opening up Brown, you know.
Oh, by all means.
Ken, I've got a sure hunch about that tune called Julie you've written for the show.
Yeah? What's a sure hunch?
Oh, the way everybody down at the theater sings it and hums it all the time. The way they all love it. Ken, that song's going to sweep this country. Well, like, Music Goes Round and Round did it. Some of the other songs have just been terrifically popular hits. You're going to be my most famous acquaintance before long, Mr. McKenzie. You know that?
I don't know, Helen.
Well, you are.
You know, I kind of regret calling that song Julie. I wish I'd have made it Susie or most anything else.
Now, why?
Oh, I've ribbed about it pretty much. Well, not that I mind, of course, but... By the way, I met Dee Fallon yesterday.
Did you?
Fallon. He and Julie were walking up 44th Street, and I ran into them.
How did you like Michael, Ken?
Julie's picked him. I guess he's okay. Hey, look. What goes on, Helen?
What do you mean?
I mean about Julie. She's going around in a perpetual glow. For a while after Michael got here, I knew darn well something was wrong, but here lately, Julie's beamingly, blissfully happy. Why the sudden change?
Well, I don't know, Ken. I guess she's just awfully happy for general reasons. She and Michael seemed to...
Oh, hi, Mr.
Hi,
how are you all doing? Michael's downstairs in the car, and we're going on a picnic. I just don't have to get some things, and I'm in sort of a hurry. Excuse me if I sort of dash in and out.
We want you to phone in, Julie.
Oh, thanks, hon. I'll call him later.
Well, hello, Miss Anthony.
Hello, Julie. Just sitting here showing you your room for a while. You know, I think this is the coolest sun in the place this afternoon.
Well, help yourself, Miss Anthony. I just come in to get a scarf to tie around my hair and get Michael's camera. Oh, well, I want to eat for dinner tonight, Miss Anthony.
You want to?
Michael and I have had the bright idea of a picnic. You know the place about an hour's drive up the Hudson where we can have a little trout season all to ourselves with waterfalls and big rocks to sit on. And you can sketch and I can read and then we'll have supper. Isn't it done well? Isn't it?
That's fine. Don't you want Lucinda to fix up some sandwiches?
No, thanks, John. Michael had a place downtown fixed up some stuff.
Can you give me back my blue scarf?
Oh, I think it's in the closet.
Jenny, I haven't seen him for the past few days, and I haven't laid eyes on Michael.
I'll tell you the secret, Miss Anthony. Michael and I, well, you see, we were away from each other so long while he was over in Ireland, but now that we're together again, Michael says he wants to play. Well, he makes a world that doesn't have anybody in it but us.
Oh, I see.
We're having such fun being alone and running away from everybody and spending every minute we can together for a while. I say, Jenny, I'm so happy. Michael and I have sort of, well, everything's lovely, Miss Anthony.
Oh, that's mighty fine, Julie.
Oh, the camera. Well, I'll see you tonight. We have to hurry now before the afternoon gets away from us.
You have a good time, Julie.
And thanks.
Well, you're the hurry, Miss Girl. I've never seen you, eh?
Well, we've got to drive way up to Haverstraw, Ken, or someplace Michael knows. Oh, Helen, I'm not going to bother to call Steve. I don't think it's important.
Well, just as you say, Julie.
How'd you like Michael when you met him yesterday, Ken?
I always applaud your taste in everything, Julie. You know that.
I want you to like Michael. He likes you.
Well, I'll see you all later.
Have fun.
I will, then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Julie. You know, Helen, one of these days, I'll finally get over that with the one out of the door. And it'll be one of these days soon, too.
Just cannot.
So, I don't know how I've passed things to you, Helen. I never tell anybody else. I never even tell myself that Julie matters a dime to me. Then I come over here and get to talking with you. How it all comes.
Maybe that's good for you.
Yeah, what kind of dope am I, anyway, that I can't get the fact through my thick skull that it's hopeless that Julie will ever belong to me? You know, you can't accept a fact as obvious as that. It's a little bit crazy. Julie Braun and Mary Fallon. Maybe when I read it in the paper, I'll finally catch on.
Too bad, Ken.
No, it's not too bad, Helen. It's too stupid. It's my own fault if I can't make my feelings of Julie go away. Gosh, Helen, I want Julie to be happy with Michael Fallon or anybody else. But sitting around watching it is, I don't know, I sort of feel like removing the source of irritation and getting out of town for a while. Maybe I'll take a vacation.
I'm sorry about the injury, Ken.
Oh, heck, don't be sorry, Helen. I've been asking for this for the last 6 years. I'm not a very bright lad, you know. Well, I guess I'll get on over home. I'm expecting some people to drop in. Helen, if you like coming over later on, I'll be looking for
you. Well, thanks, Ken. I'd like to.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Ken.
Did I hear Ken go, Helen?
Uh-huh. He just left Agatha.
Well, certainly it's nice to have Jill happy all the time, isn't it? And not unhappy like she was when Michael first came.
Those two are really staring to themselves. I haven't seen Michael for 3 or 4 days. He never comes into the theater or up here to the apartment. He always waits in the car, and he and Julie rush off somewhere.
Well, people are in love and do go to extremes. I guess Julie was wrong about thinking Michael's feelings for her exchange for him. Everything thinks that he seems to be perfect now between the two of them.
Julie wasn't wrong, Agatha.
What?
I say, Julie wasn't wrong about thinking Michael's feeling for her changed. It has changed.
What do you mean, Helen?
Yes, I might as well tell you, dear. I don't know why I haven't before. But Michael told me himself that he doesn't love Julie anymore.
He told you?
Yes. See, the other night out on the terrace, he asked me if he could see something of me and keep it a secret from Julie.
Helen, he did.
Yes, he did. His whole attitude toward Julie was one of anything but love. He said a lot of stuff about being fascinated and intrigued by me and about Julie having no right to possess him and all that.
Mm.
And in addition, he was so conceited as to think that I was attached to him and that I would willingly cooperate in seeing him behind Julie's back.
Girl of all things. You certainly just disillusioned me about Michael, though.
Yeah, disillusioned me, too, Agatha, very, very much. Completely shocked by it, and I told Michael so. Then he confided in me that he used to love Julie, but he just doesn't anymore. He doesn't know how to get out of it, and he doesn't want to hurt her.
Why doesn't he love Julie anymore, then?
Just that the thrill is sort of gone.
Oh, why on earth are you paying her all this attention lately?
So that he realized he owes Julie something. That he owes her an effort to
to try to make the thrill come back. So apparently this world for two they're making is an attempt on Michael's part to be alone with Julie a lot and try to, well, see if he can feel the same about her again. That's the way I figure it out.
Oh, and Julie's so happy, Helen. Why, she thinks that Michael adores her, and that's why he wants to be with her all the time. Do you suppose he will get back to loving her like he used to again?
I don't suppose, Agatha. I know. And the answer is no. Just as Ken said a minute ago, he can't make his feeling for Julie go away. Michael can't make his come back.
Mm, but Julie's so happy, Helen. Maybe Michael will fall in love with her again.
Oh, I do hope so.
I can't even hope, Agatha. I know there's heartbreak ahead for Julie. And I'm a little afraid there's trouble ahead for me.
Mm-hmm.